8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat, tell us 8 o'clock.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
Yo, yo, this your boy Rick Rock. Welcome to another episode of I Sell Fantasy Football. Football season's back. Finally, your first Sunday, week one of the NFL. Here's my co-host.
What's up, Bay Area? It's your boy, Dr. Mario, and football is back, baby. And yes, it feels like it.
What's up, Bay Area? It's your boy, the real Jorge.
What's up, you guys? This is your boy, the Professor JJ.
Yo, man, week one, football's back. It was actually pretty good seeing sport that we all love and like, other than, of course, our home team, the San Francisco 49ers, losing. Tough pill to swallow. But we actually, if you guys listen to the episode where we had our predictions, we had Steven, a.k.a. Gito, calling the loss. Yeah, man. So what do you guys think about that 49ers game, man?
That 49ers game was exciting. I was actually happy how the Niners were playing the entire game up until the fourth quarter. Things fell apart quickly, and Jimmy Garoppolo couldn't bring us back. It was really disappointing.
But yeah, Kyler Murray had an awesome game. Sort of like a Russell Wilson kind of player. Cam Newton, you can put him in there. Lamar Jackson, you know, he's a mobile quarterback. Our defense always has a hard time against mobile quarterbacks. Like you said, Gito called it. It was devastating. You know, every time fourth quarter comes around, I feel like we just, like you said, we crumble, we collapse, we can't finish the game.
Excellent take, JJ. I thought it was a horrible game. This is not the way I was expecting the revenge tour to start. There's holes all around, and there's plenty of work to be done all over. There's plenty of blame to go around on both sides of the field, not just on the field, but off the field as well with the play calling.
Again, it was tough. It was tough. Our defense looked a little bit lost. They couldn't contain him, like all you guys mentioned. And Mario, did I call this right before the game?
Yeah, he actually said last minute they're going to lose. And then you put in Kyler Murray, and so did I, baby. And we all saw what Kyler did to that Niner defense.
Yeah, that's the bittersweet about football, where you have a certain player going against your home team and the bad juju that you're putting on your team. You know, it's a long season. The 49ers still got to get their things together. But there was actually a very strong voice from the GOAT, the greatest wide receiver of all time, saying something that he noticed during the game.
During a break, they were playing music. And I'm just going to take this back just for a second, because something that really, really got me heated yesterday, and I'm not going to call any names or anything like that. During a break, they were playing music, and we had certain guys dancing that hadn't done anything on the football field, that didn't have a reception or anything. That's not the standard of the San Francisco 49ers. If you want to dance, you want to be a dancer or do whatever, you shouldn't be wearing that uniform. You got to be productive. You got to contribute to the team. And if you can't do that, go do something else. That pissed me off. Niners are not about that. Now, no. If you score a touchdown, you could do whatever you want. You could break dance.
So that was Jerry Rice calling out. Let's be honest, there's only two dancers on the fucking team right now who haven't done shit. Sorry, I'm gonna say it, 49ers fans. I know you're on Bourne's bandwagon, Kendrick Bourne and Dante Pettis. I think that's ridiculous, disrespectful. Like Jerry said, you haven't done shit and you're over there dancing. You play to win the game. But what do you guys think about what Jerry said?
Jerry Rice is completely right. He's the GOAT for a reason. His entire NFL career, he put in the work. He kept his head in the game at all times. You never saw Jerry Rice get sidetracked by music and dancing. If you want to do dancing, go join Dancing with the Stars or something. Don't bring that shit to the football field, because when it comes to football, it's all about hard-hitting tackles, fast-running lanes, and scoring touchdowns.
I agree with the GOAT 100% as well, guys. He put it perfectly and crystal clear. All these guys, they should look to idolize, emulate, and repeat him in every aspect of it. Jerry Rice has always been nothing but a class act and a great A receiver on the field. Everything he said is 100% correct, true, and accurate, in my opinion. You shouldn't be dancing. There's no reason for you to be dancing. You should be burying your head in the playbook and studying every play and seeing what you did wrong and what you could do to make it better, not dancing on the sidelines.
Yeah, man, I completely agree. Dante Pettis had no receptions, 0 yards. Trent Taylor, 2 receptions for 7 yards. I don't feel like they were even playing the game. Kendrick Bourne had 2 receptions, 34 yards. Not what we expect. Yeah, so, you know, no, there was no point for dancing unless you're blowing out the team or if you just scored.
Yes, yes, I agree. And we all agree with the GOAT. When the GOAT speaks, we listen. And I hope those players listen. So we got some breaking news right now.
All on your way. Eyes Up News.
The San Francisco 49ers just signed another wide receiver, Mohamed Sanu, who can't freaking get open for shit. Why the hell would you bring a wide receiver like that? He just got released from the New England Patriots, who need wide receivers. Why the hell would you sign a wide receiver that can't get open anymore? That's my take. Horrible move by Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. Desperate moves, desperate times, desperate measures. I do not agree with this signing. It's completely trash. What do you guys think about this?
This was an emergency sign. Right now, we all know that the 49ers were down to three starting wide receivers towards the fourth quarter. And three wide receivers, mediocre at best, isn't going to do it for you. Mohamed Sanu, somebody who's very familiar with Kyle Shanahan's system, easily could get plugged in into the starting lineup until our young guns, Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, come back at 100%. This is a good emergency signing. It's going to open up the offense a little bit more now.
Though I have mixed feelings about the signing. It's not the one I was hoping for. I am pleased to hear some news, because if you guys are so quick to forget, there was a time, the Trent Baalke days, when we would suck and he wouldn't do a single thing about it. The fact that Kyle Shanahan brought someone in that's familiar with the system shows me that he's caring. He's trying to tell us, I'm trying to improve this, trying to make something work. So it's not the same thing I expected, but at least it's some news, and I'm content with that.
He knows Kyle Shanahan's offense. They are familiar with each other. Kyle knows how he plays, what are his skills, what is he good at. The year he was with Atlanta and Kyle Shanahan was over there, he had, 67 receptions, 700 and about 5 touchdowns. Yes, it's not great numbers, but it's decent numbers compared to what wide receivers we have in our roster at the moment. We can't get any worse with him on the team.
So, yeah, I mean, the Niners, they got to go back to the drawing board. There's a lot of people saying that they still have the Super Bowl hangover and that they're not going to get over it. It sucks because everybody in the division, the Seahawks, the Rams, and, of course, the Cardinals, they won.
This is Eyes Up Fantasy.
So now let's talk about the defensive end side of the 49ers. God damn, Armstead, trash. He got all that money, now he ain't playing no more. We should have kept Buckner. We've all been saying it. Bosa, I mean, he still put a lot of pressure, no sacks. Javon Kinlaw, he actually did pretty good. He actually showed up. He was third by PFF in pressures to the quarterback from his defensive tackle. That's pretty good. Even though he didn't have the sack numbers, it's only game one, people. We're still having problems with mobile quarterbacks. So here are the numbers for the 49ers defensive pressure. Nick Bosa, 5. Javon Kinlaw, 2. Trash Armstead, 2. D4, 1. And DJ Jones, 2. That's pretty trash. I don't know about you guys. What do you guys think about the defensive side of the ball?
Nick Bosa did a great job. I mean, I saw him getting closest to the quarterback all 4 quarters. He was breaking down double teams, and that's why Kinlaw was able to get more pressure at times. Nick Bosa, I feel like this upcoming week, he's going to have a bounce back game and get easily 2 sacks.
I am upset with the way the defense played as well. I mean, where was D4 towards the end? I saw him kind of limping and holding his knee, possibly be injured once again. Javon Kinlaw had a few pressures to the quarterback I saw, but he's a rookie. You know, the verdict's still out on him. But I'm happy with how he did in his first game overall. Eric Armstead, this is like when parents divorce and you got to split the kids. Well, guess what, guys? We picked the wrong kid. Stuck with Eric Armstead instead of going with DeForest Buckner. That defensive line will most definitely miss DeForest Buckner this whole season, and it's starting to show. I need Javon Kinlaw to step up. Eric Armstead to do what he's paid to do. Nick Bosa just did. He did great, in my opinion. I saw him, like Jorge said, get most closest to the quarterback. Linebackers, they did all right. Fred Warner was cool, but the corners kept getting burned. Sherman's not getting any faster. Why is Dante Johnson still on the team? Once again, is my question. He should be cut ASAP. My Uncle Rick said it's only game one. We should not panic. However, this lost things twice as much due to the fact that, as you guys mentioned earlier, it is a divisional rival. Not to mention, I'm sure a lot of us had us winning this game. We're starting off on the wrong foot. But next week, like Jorge said, we will most definitely bounce back. It should be an easy layup against the Jets.
Agree with you guys, man. Everything you guys said was on point, man. Our defense, I really feel like it's solid no matter what. I mean, I guess we had a hiccup, you can say. You know, it wasn't our best game, you know, no preseason. But yeah, Emmanuel Mosley did good. Fred Warner did good. Quan Alexander did good. Nick Bosa did good. I feel like they did a lot, but you know, it's hard when you have a mobile quarterback out there, and especially you have the nuke out there now, man. You have a weapon. They have no corners really to stop him. You really have to watch out now for Kyler Murray running to the side, and you really have to keep an eye on Hopkins on one side. Can't wait for the rematch.
Yeah, but how many catches did Hopkins have?
It doesn't matter, man. He's the third best wide receiver in the league. You are not going to stop him.
I mean, so he's not even eat. With the, one of the top three corners in the league.
Who?
Richard Sherman. I think Sherman's top three.
Okay, well, you need to stop. You have no clue what you're saying. You cannot call somebody a top three cornerback when he doesn't have the speed anymore. He's not top three, man.
Top three.
He's not. You're just saying that because you're getting all confused with the whole 49ers thing. No, man. You got to be real. He's not a top three cornerback. Let me tell you my top three. Gilmore, Ramsey, and then the dude from Miami.
Ramsey isn't any faster than Sherman is.
Yes, he is. Wow, dude. Okay. All right. We're going to agree to disagree on that, and a lot of people are going to be laughing at you because you just make no sense right now. All right. So now let's move on to our fantasy football numbers, stats, winners, and losers. So with that, Dr. Mario, start us off, please. Who are your winners for your week one of the fantasy football season?
My boom fantasy football winner was Clyde Edwards-Helaire for me in a stunning rookie debut of 19 points, baby. Against all odds, I took him at number five, and people roasted me for it. In another league, I traded for him. And they roasted me for it, but he came through with me, and he's showing that the ceiling is the roof for this guy. So I'm excited to see what else he brings in the upcoming weeks.
I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That kid is money. Good pickup, Mario. One of the biggest sleepers in this year's fantasy football draft.
Completely agree, man. He will be top three running back this season. By next season, he'll be going with the first three picks.
I'm not going to lie, I was not expecting that kind of usage for a rookie like that. 25 rushes. He wasn't even involved in the passing game. Yeah, I passed on him a few of my drafts. But, hey, good pick, Mario. Good pick. Jorge, who's your winner for week one?
My winner for week one has to be Russell Wilson, quarterback for Seattle Seahawks. He went off for 300-plus yards, four touchdowns thrown, and was able to rush for 29 yards. In the end, he was able to put up 31.7 fantasy points. I think that's a very good start for any QB1. What do you guys think?
I like your pick, Jorge, but I expect this from Russell Wilson. You know, he is an elite quarterback. I mean, yes, you got no weapons, really. You have no line. But, you know, I expect this every time I see Russell Wilson. I expect him to find the little gaps and holes. You know, he always throws that ball right where he needs it. Like always, being at least in the top 10 quarterbacks, maybe top five this year.
I don't have any shares of Russell Wilson. I agree with JJ. This is expected from him. 22-plus points a game.
Russell Wilson had a terrific game. It's crazy how you guys hold him to a bit higher standard when you guys say I expect him to do this stuff. Russell Wilson threw for 322 yards, four touchdowns, and he finished off with a 143.1 quarterback rating. That's a terrific game on the money. Russell Wilson, top 10 quarterback, no doubt. Draft him in the future. This guy always hits, never misses, especially on primetime games. Russell is your guy. And never have I seen a guy do the most with less.
Now we're going to go to the professor. JJ.
Okay, boom. Week one winner. For me, I'm going to have to go with a wide receiver, Adam Thielen. A lot of people were thinking, you know, he's going to get double coverage because Diggs is gone. He's not going to be the same. But, dude, six receptions for 110 yards and two TDs. Adam Thielen proved in this game that he is the number one in Minnesota. Yes, it's just 1 week, one game. He can show up on a game where it's a high-scoring game like this. You know, it was back and forth, back and forth. What do you guys think?
I actually think it's actually a great pick. I had a lot of questions about Adam Thielen becoming the number one wide receiver for the Minnesota Vikings, but he is just taking over. At the end of the day, he showed up. You know, you play to win the game. He showed up. Fantasy-wise, garbage points, guess what? Are still points. So good job, JJ.
As for your garbage point wide receiver, I think Adam Thielen is a great pick. Jose, I always stay away from Adam Thielen, but every year he proves me wrong. I will say it's just week one. We'll see how he does in the following weeks. It's a long football season. Terrific debut. I'm happy for him, and let's hope to see more. You like that?
To wrap things up, I just want to add that Adam Thielen has been one of the most elite receivers in the slot. He's actually one of the leaders in the NFL in catches year in, year out. So Adam Thielen, there's no surprise that he's bounced back in a big way with two touchdowns in the game plus 100 yards. I'm excited to see what is in store for Adam Thielen this year.
I actually have Cam Newton as my week one winner. If you drafted Cam Newton, you got him past the 12th round. Money, 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 money. Let me give you his stats. 155 passing yards. No touchdowns. Rushing stats. 15 rushing attempts. 75 yards. 2 touchdowns. I'm rolling with Cam. Guess what? Cam is the new Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray. He is going to eat. You know how Zeke always has that little thing, feed me? Guess what? Cam doesn't need to get fed. He's just going to eat. He's going to take everybody's lunch money. Yes, Cam, Superman, I'm back. That's my week one winner.
I thought Cam Newton had a terrific debut as well. I'm happy to see that he's getting along well with Josh McDaniels as well as Bill Belichick. I'm excited to see what they cook up in the next couple of weeks. I definitely did see some plays that Belichick cooked up that he didn't cook up for Tom Brady before. Due to the playmaking ability that Cam Newton possesses that Tom Brady did not, mobile quarterback. Great pick, Rick. We'll see what else he does in the next coming weeks.
Cam Newton, I think he did his thing. Finally healthy. He's back to his old ways and it's rushing the ball at any opportunity that he's given. And he's been able to take advantage starting with last Sunday. As Rick mentioned, he was able to rush for 2 rushing touchdowns, more than any Patriots running back was able to run for this past Sunday. And he had 15 rushes, 75 yards for 2 rushing touchdowns. Cam Newton killed it last Sunday. And I like what I see. Bill Belichick is not holding back on anything. And Josh Daniels, he's able to have some fun with the playbook this season now that there's been a switch up at quarterback for the New England Patriots.
Miami's defense is ranked 28th in the league. Okay, there's only 4 more teams worse than them. Okay. Yeah. That defense, trash. All right. So I expect this from Cam. Come Seattle next week. We'll see how you guys do.
So now let's move on to our waiver pickups for week 2. Now with that, the real Jorge, who are your top 2 waiver wire pickups for week 2?
I like Dallas Goedert, tight end for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's always a good starter for your tight end slot. This past Sunday, he was able to put up 100 yards and a touchdown reception. Not to mention, last year, he was able to get 600 yards and 5 touchdowns playing behind starter Zach Ertz. So Dallas Goedert for the Philadelphia Eagles is a good pickup for the rest of the season, and make sure to start him. For number 2, I have to go with Malcolm Brown, running back for the Los Angeles Rams. Currently, right now, there's a 3 running back committee, and Sean McVay is going with the hot hand. Malcolm Brown tends to be the hot hand in charge. He was able to get 2 rushing touchdowns last Sunday on 19 rushes. In the end, he was able to get 21 touches, and he took advantage. Look out for Malcolm Brown, running back, Los Angeles Rams.
For my 2 picks, I'm going to go first with a running back. Now with Connor a little bit injured, you got to go and pick up Benny Snell Jr. from the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's owned, I think, only in about 17% of the leagues. So he's available right now. With Connor going down, he had 19 attempts for 113 yards alone. Just that. No touchdown. He is my number 1 pickup for week 2. For my number 2, but Mitch Trubisky, for me, really outshined. He threw for 252 yards and 3 touchdowns. Completely shocked me, completely stunned me. I expected the Lions just to roll them over. If you're dry or you need help in quarterback, Mitch Trubisky will be the one.
Garner Minshew is one of my pickups. In case you're hurting at quarterback, Minshew impressed and wowed with a whooping 26 fantasy football points, throwing for 3 touchdowns and 173 passing yards, also adding 19 rushing yards on 5 attempts. And if you need something at running back, you can also slide over to Indianapolis and pick up Nyheim Hines if available. He has stepped up to the plate after Marlon Mack went down and finished the game with a whooping 19 points, rushing for 28 yards on 7 attempts and having 1 rushing touchdown. He also added 45 receiving yards and 1 receiving touchdown to his arsenal.
Great, great waiver pickups, you guys. Myself, James Robinson, undrafted rookie for the Jacksonville Jaguars. People are definitely sleeping on him. He's the only running back that got 90% of the touches for the Jaguars. He is going to get the touches. Last week alone, a coming out game that was actually pretty good. Last week, he had 16 attempts, 62 yards, and he had 1 reception for 28 yards. I mean, if you want a running back and you're desperately looking for a running back, go pick him up right now. He is a beast. He was actually one of the reasons why they caught Leonard Fournette. This guy had a very good college career. My other pick, I have to say, is the cyborg, Adrian Peterson. had a great game. He just barely signed maybe 2 weeks ago with Detroit Lions. 14 attempts, 93 yards, no touchdowns. I mean, he did pretty good, if you ask me. He also had 3 receptions for 23 yards. Standard points of 11.4. I call him the cyborg for a reason, guys. Shows up a week before the season starts, and he's like, okay, just give me the ball, man. I don't know what to do. Adrian Peterson is my number 2 waiver wire pickup for week number 2. And with that, now let's do a rapid fire questions. Dr. Mario, who's going to be your highest scoring fantasy player week 2?
I have none other than quarterback Drew Brees going off for 30 points, 3 touchdowns, 270 yards. Let's go, Drew. Drew, let's make it happen.
With no Michael Thomas?
Wishful thinking.
At Las Vegas Raiders, any defense? You don't think Drew Brees is going to go crazy on that ass Monday night?
All right, so the real Jorge, what do you think about that?
I don't like the pick. I think it's too early to call Drew Brees a boom for week 2. We haven't seen what he could do without Michael Thomas. Facing the Las Vegas Raiders on Monday night in their new stadium, I think the Raiders defense, they're going to be more prepared this time.
Now, the real Jorge, who do you got as your high-scoring player in week 2?
I got none other than Mike Evans for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Last week, he was only able to get 4 targets and 1 reception in the game. At least he made that reception count and made it his lone touchdown of the week. However, Mike Evans, I'm expecting at least 10 targets in this upcoming matchup against the Carolina Panthers. I feel like Tom Brady's going to have a big bounce back game, and it's going to be looking Evans' way a lot more, especially if Mike Evans is a full go.
Great, great take. JJ, what do you think about that?
Yeah, Mike Evans. I don't know, man. It's depending on how his injury goes. I believe in Mike Evans, but I don't believe he's going to have that breakout game like that, you know, 30-plus points or something like that. I expect maybe a good 15, 17 solid points, maybe a 1 TD, you know, and 100 yards, you know. It'll be a good solid game, but I don't think he'll be the highest wide receiver for week 2.
Great. Now, JJ, who do you have as your highest fantasy scoring player?
For me, it's none other than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't know if you guys know this, but did you know his last name, Edwards-Helaire, is for both his biological father and his stepfather? I just wanted to throw that little, you know, side note out there. That's pretty cool. No, I'm like, he had a great week 1. 25 attempts, 138 yards, and a TD. They had 3 chances in the red zone at the 1-yard line, and he could not finish it. I don't believe that will be the problem this week. Yeah, they're facing the Chargers, who have a little bit of a somewhat better defense, but they are a little banged up on defense. But I expect him to at least score 25 to 30 points this week against the San Diego Chargers.
I like the pick, JJ, because I too own stocks, a share of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. No, I did not know he had both of his biological father and stepfather's names. Thank you for that information. I hope he does go dumb, as you stated. I know I like what I saw last week. Go Clyde.
Now, my player is none other than Jonathan Taylor, ladies and gentlemen, with the best O-line in the league. He's going to put some monster numbers. Now that Marlon Mack, who, by the way, we all know he has a torn Achilles injury. He was carted off that game. But, yeah, Jonathan Taylor for me, man. 20-plus points this week coming up. He's going to establish himself as being the best running back in the draft this past year's draft. So, yep, hope you guys enjoyed the show. Make sure to check us out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. And we're actually going to have our first season giveaway. Stay tuned for that on the next episode. Thank you for listening. See you until next time. Sipping on some rock tuss, 8 o'clock. In my Gucci coat tuss, 8 o'clock. This is Always Up Fantasy.